Today on Real Life Radio.
The salvation that's in you, listen, don't hide it under a basket. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. That's a cute song, but it's a biblical truth. There are no secret, covert, undercover Christians. The Holy Spirit DNA inside of you will not let that happen.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called It's Time to Go Now, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses to seek God's will for our own lives and make every effort to please the Lord by growing in faith and spiritual maturity. As believers, we're to move on in our Christian life. The Apostle Paul now takes our heads out of the clouds of glory, if you will, and places us back down to earth. Why? Because God is at work in this world, and His work carries with it both present and eternal consequences. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there is an obvious sign of actual Christianity. It's the almost violent explosion of determination to see God at work in one's life. A Christian's responsibility is to be 100% yielded to and engaged in what God is doing. It's about letting God's will come out and take action. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The word work here means this: to take, listen carefully, to take out what you have been given. The word means to seek a finish line. The word means to get to the prize or to get to the point. It is an amazing word. Look at it carefully. Get to the point. Whatever's inside of you, bring it out. Look at your Bible. Bring it out, that which is in you. Regarding this salvation, it is the word soteriology, or the study of salvation. The word means your salvation. You, your. Notice, Bible students, circle the word own. It's your own salvation. This is a huge statement. No one is going to heaven because their parents or their son is saved. No one goes to heaven on the merits of some other individual. This is what it means. It is your own salvation. I am called by God to dredge up, to bring forth something that has been given to me. Question, has it been given to you? To bring up something that has been given and to put it forth. That's all I know so far about this verse. It's given, but it's to come out of me, personally. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's go to verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So listen, the lights are coming on a little bit. Okay, I'm starting to understand now more clearly Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Grace, salvation, gift of God. I can't work for it. That doesn't match with God's Bible, with God's word. So I lay that down. So what's happening here? I hate to bombard you with these outdoor analogies, but it is what it is, and it's springtime, is it not? It's amazing. Check this out. The ground in my backyard is just sitting there. It's dirt. It's earth. I go to Lowe's, and I buy bags of bulbs. I just bought a bunch of gladiola, ranunculus, various bulbs, okay? And the ground is just sitting there. I open up the earth, and I gift the earth the seed. Are you with me? The bulb. I put it in. What effort did the earth have in getting the seed implanted into it? Nothing. It received the seed, right? It received the seed, and an explosion of life took place. And that thing is growing. And just now this week, and I noticed that some of them have broken the surface and they're about an inch and a half high. What's happening? Life. The longer I wait, the more the growth. Listen, is it starting to click with you? God's word gets into us. We just receive it. It begins to germinate. An amazing explosion of knowledge begins to take place. Things are happening, like in the seed. The seed is all the data inside the seed is amazing. Not the earth. It's the data, it's the DNA in the seed. And it explodes. And the word of God has a spiritual DNA, and it's inside of me, and it begins to explode within me when it's received. And growth begins to happen, and it begins to come out. And the longer I wait and stay abiding in the earth, the stronger the growth. And if I keep waiting, I'll get a flower on the top of my head. And depending upon what we've planted, it will continue, and the flower will kind of wither, but there'll be like what's also in my backyard, little tiny, teeny, weeny, green bumps, little balls. What are they? Well, I know what they are because I know what's going on. They're oranges. And the orange continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And it grows so much that I'm eventually going to pluck it off and use it because it is fruit. All from a seed. God has given us that picture. The word of God gets inside of you. You grow, grow, grow. There's a flower. And listen, then it looks like you're dying. It looks like something's wrong. Oh no, the flower is withering. Those are trials which bring forth fruit. And after you endure the trial, there is fruit, and the fruit grows and grows until the husbandman, the planter, the harvester comes by and looks at it and plucks it off. And that which once looked weird, smelled great, then went away, is now back, and it is fruitful. It is amazing. And that happens. That's happening to you right now. That's happening to us as we continue on with Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear about that. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Next thing we understand regarding that is that this thought, you would think of a gold miner, as it were, concerning a Christian. How do I work out of me my salvation? The salvation that's in you, listen, don't hide it under a basket. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. That's a cute song, but it's a biblical truth. There are no secret, covert, undercover Christians. The Holy Spirit DNA inside of you will not let that happen. No matter where you are in the world. You can be in the most atheistic, godless, communist North Korea, the most dangerous place on earth. You think Syria's bad? North Korea is ranked number one in danger for the Christian, North Korea. Why are people in prison and being tortured in North Korea? Why are Christians being tortured and in prison? Because the spiritual DNA in them has to grow. They ain't no keeping it down. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Are you a Christian? Then look, it's springtime. You're about to explode. And if you don't, not quite sure what you are. If there is not the truth of God inside of you screaming to get out, if you're not feeling the explosion of angst inside of you, knowing I need to grow, I just know this is... How is it that some people come to this church and they'll tell me in the foyer, you know what, when I came here, the worship touched my heart and then the word of God spoke to me and I've never been here before, but I've found my home. Come on, let's be honest. We know what they're saying, but this is not their home. It's not my home. Why do they feel like that? Why are they honestly feeling that way? Because they've experienced God and God uses his word. And what he does is when he touches them, they start to explode. They start to grow. That thought of a miner mining until he reaches the gold is exactly the same thought for the believer. Work out your own salvation. You can't save yourself. Because you have salvation in you, let it out. That's why the title is what it is. It's time to go now. It's always time to go now for the Christian. Every day, every moment. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. It doesn't mean if you hang in there and only then, listen, denominations, I'm not going to name them. I don't want to get people freaking out. But I could tell you from that verse, people will say there are denominational leaders who will say, see, you can't know you're saved until the end. Jesus will tell you when it's all over if you're saved or not. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That verse is saying, Jesus is announcing, you continue to grow and expand and blossom, and in the end, you'll see the salvation that has started in you is going to mature and come to its fruiting at the very end. It doesn't mean, well, it's a white knuckler, hang in there, and only the tough ones are going to be saved. That's not what it means. He will see to it that you endure because his salvation is like that. It's all about sanctification, really. It's about God pulling you out of this world and preparing you for the next. And while he's doing that, he's using your example, your life, to bring other people with him, with you. It's pretty amazing. Notice this, you guys, in your Bible. It's not work for your salvation, is it? It's not work up your salvation. Just say you're saved. Go ahead, speak it, say it, just say it, just say you're saved. Say it, just say it again, say it 10 times. Not work it up, not work for. It's not even work in. Now you just work that salvation in. You just rub it on there, get some salt and some butter, and just rub it in. People are so messed up today, you could make that a national teaching series. The Rub It In series. Welcome to the Rub It In conference. You just rub your salvation in, you'll be saved. No, it's not. He's speaking to the beloved brethren, and salvation, if you have it, it's got to come out. That's why when you see somebody, listen, this is going to just cause you to be so happy. You'll see someone and you'll hear the Lord inside of you say, tell them I'm Jesus. Tell them I love them. And then the fun begins because we're like this. Oh, okay. Hey, excuse me. Or we go, me? God, come on. And we look like totally normal people standing in line at a store somewhere, but then we're like, cool. We're like, right? And we get in an argument with God. All he wants to do is use us. All he wants to do is take what's inside of us and pull it out. He just wants that to come out of us. It's just better and faster and more fun just to obey him. It really is. James chapter 2. You got to go to Dr. James when things like this are being discussed. James chapter 2. James, the Bible tells us, the half-brother of Jesus, James. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? I have faith, someone says. And James says, oh, that's great, but you have no evidence. You have faith. Listen carefully. Can faith save him? Ooh. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Absolutely true. Do you have salvation in you? Yes. Then listen, it will be evident by how you live your life. Look at verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. James responds, show me your faith without your works. It's impossible. And I will show you my faith by my works. You hear that? You want to talk about it? All you can do is talk about it. James says, I don't have to say a word about it. I'm going to show you by my life that I believe in Jesus. It changes me. No, I believe in Jesus and you have no evidence. I believe in God, and listen, all week long, there's no evidence that you even have any different life at all. You're just like the world. I know Jesus, and there's no difference. There's no change. And listen, we won't get to it today. We'll have to get to it next week. It's this. The Christian has this well coming up of what's inside this soteria, salvation. And it engages the culture. It engages the family. It engages the individual you're talking with. It comes up and it comes out. I mean, I don't want to put it this way, but it's kind of graphic, but maybe it put the picture in your head. You can always tell what a baby just ate for dinner if the baby gets upset. You know what I'm saying? Oh, there's the corn and there's the beans over there. How do you know? It came out of them. Well, how do you know someone's a Christian? This came out of them. Does that get a picture in your mind? Need I go any further? You got that? James is saying, don't talk to me about it. I'll show you what you're talking about. Watch my life, James is saying. That's real Christianity. Wow. James goes on, though. He says, verse 19, James 2:19, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. The word tremble is here is goose flesh. Isn't that funny? You ever seen turkey? Have you ever seen a naked turkey? It's got all the bumps on it. That's what that word means. The devils think about Jesus, and their skin, they freak. That's kind of neat, isn't it? Makes you want to walk around saying, Jesus, Jesus. Right? Imagine these demons in the spirit realm. Satan, listen, he never has a good day. All around the world, even at the very least, people are praying for their meal all around the world. Thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Satan never has a good day. That's why he's in such a bad mood all the time. Never has a good day. This is about maturing in Jesus. This workout is the believer's growth in his or her application to God's word in their life. It's about letting what's inside of you out. It's about the fact that what's inside of us is the knowledge that God has saved us from our sins. It's a very powerful truth. When he says to work out your own salvation, he says with fear. Circle the word fear. It's interesting because the word fear is the word phobos. It has many applications in the Bible. Phobos can be good or bad. For example, I have a phobos of snakes. I don't like snakes. Well, this is harmless. Keep it away from me. There is no such thing as a harmless snake to me. I don't even care if it's the size of a worm. I don't want to deal with it. There's something about it. Oh, well, oh, look, that's my phobos. You have yours. Here's the deal. When it says phobos, this fear, in the context, it is a godly awe. It is, you know what it is? It's going to the edge. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? It's going to the edge of the Grand Canyon there in the South Rim, for example, and you stand there, and it's like, awesome. Do you know that feeling? Have you ever been there? We should take a field trip. It's total. It's like going down to the beach, down to the wedge, when there's 20-foot waves, and the ground shakes, and you stand there, and you go, awesome. You feel so little. And the ground is shaking when the waves break. That's awesome. Phobos. It's a healthy fear. It's a good thing. The second thing is trembling. The word trembling is tromos. It means, listen, it means to quake. It means to shudder. Listen, it means to shudder over the fact that there's a day coming that we'll stand before God. We have an appointment with God. So let your salvation come out of your life knowing this. There's an awesome moment that will be realized in our lives when we stand before Almighty God. Only the believer can have this. This is not a terror to the unbeliever. This is only an application to the believer. When it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for time's sake, we're going to have to put this right here for now. At Christmas time, are you not given a gift? Do you not get a gift? You didn't buy it. It was given to you. This is us. Listen, the gift is given. Now you have to work out that gift. So what? The gift is all there. You have to unwrap it and let it out. It's the same thing regarding your salvation. Now, church, you can close your Bibles if you'd like, but I'd like you to meditate on this closing. If you want to close your eyes and let this sink in, maybe that's really good. What are we talking about? It's time to go now further on in your walk with God, and we think about this. William Barclay, in years gone by, gave this great challenge. For the man and for the woman who is working out their salvation with fear and trembling, seriously considering Christ and everything. He says this, there is the sign, the miraculous sign, and you judge yourself, friends, of actuation. the miracle of actuation. It is this, watch. There is an almost violent determination in the believer, a total dedication to see God at work in one's life in a godly way. They are satisfied, yet they cannot be satisfied until they have more of God. There is the sign or the miracle of consecration. Those who are working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, they recognize that within themselves there is nothing good, not because of a martyr's complex, but because they have come to gaze upon the righteousness of God and His holiness. There is the sign, the miracle of serenity. They have come to the end of idle talk. No gossip anymore, no complaining like the children of Israel. They have found their rest in God. They have rejected that murmuring which destroyed Israel in the wilderness. They have come to trust in God as He has disarmed the situations of their life. I love that. There is the sign, the miracle of purity. They live with a deep sense of termination. That is, the road that they're traveling on is nearing its end. And when that time comes, that's when all this living will have its total meaning and its glorious conclusion that launches their beginning. This is a comforting thing. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that more than ever, we would be a people who leave this place today equipped with this truth. As a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit living within me is not for display. It is not to be put on a shelf. It is not to be placed on the mantle. But Lord, Your will is that we would be propelled out into the culture, heading back home now to the job, to the community, to live vibrant, visceral lives for Almighty God. Lord, we pray, we make this request, Father, that You today would draw up and out of us the voice of the Holy Spirit, that when You speak, we would obey. That when You talk, we would act. And Lord, help me, start with me, to stop analyzing, to stop wondering, is that God or is that me? To take the risk to obey and to analyze later, to follow God in all that we do. Lord, we dedicate this church to You, not the building, its people. Lord, may we live, do all that You say. Thank You, Father. It's time to go now. And may we know that You're going with us.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, It's Time to Go Now. Thanks for listening, and may you find rest in the fact that salvation is a gift. You only need to unwrap it and put it on. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but He's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.